Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us here safely, getting Pastor Sean here safe after his incident. Please be with the ladies that aren't with us here at the women's retreat up north. Please be with Pastor Sean as he preaches your word, and it only comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is The Hard Road. This series has many warnings in it. It has much mature content. And so I'm going to do some little recap. You know, some of you guys, anybody watch series out there on TV? You do. I know you do. And so here's like some recap points from last week. You ready? Because you might not remember everything I say. And I know that's shocking to me, but you might not. So here's some. God's way is the only road that leads to eternity. And his is the only road worth taking, even if it's hard at times. Here's another one. Jesus walked a terribly hard road for our sakes, didn't he? So we could suck it up a bit. That's old coach talking. I hung out with the guys too much. I can't say that in Jesus, Pastor. Strike it from the record. Sorry. Paul's obedient road led his head to being taken off in Rome. Paul gave his life to Jesus, and he knew being born again meant I don't have my life any longer, right? So he's writing this letter from these perspectives. The red letters of Jesus said this. He said, the way to eternity, the way to heaven, the way to me, the way to my Father, the way is narrow. Remember that? It's narrow, and it's hard to find. It's hard to find. That, there's something he's doing. We're working in this, changing this. Why? Because it's narrow and hard. All scripture we learned last week, all scripture is given for instruction and for our good. And here's my last point. Good fathers often have unpopular rules. Any fathers in the house? Anybody ever give an unpopular rule? Yeah, you know, it's good father means unpopular rules, right? So let's jump into where we left off last week before we go into the second episode. Let's jump into the scripture, Romans 1:32. That's where we left off. Okay. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. What are these things? They're found in chapter 1, all the things he lists. And it says they know those things and that they're against my ways. They know it. They absolutely know what's against my ways. They absolutely do. They know, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Doing stuff that they know he said not to do is bad, right? In Spanish, say mal. Mal is bad. But here's the other thing. Encouraging others to do things that God said or not to is even worse. Man, I got no slide for that. And this is something, if you're a note taker, here's some notes. I want some important notes. So make mental them if you don't have them, you know. God doesn't exist to do your will. God does not exist to do your will. He is not there to serve you or make you feel comfortable. If that's the gospel you were sold, that's not the true gospel. He said narrow and hard at times. Not that there's not blessing and wonderful and some good Philly cheesesteaks at a men's retreat. Right? We got to be out near the water in the wilderness. There's some good things, but there's some hard things. Because our voice to each other was sharpen each other, rub against each other, make each other better, make each other stronger this year. Like get into the hard places where you don't want anybody to touch and let someone touch it that loves you and let's get better, right? That's where we were. Sometimes we forget in our prayer life that, God, why aren't you serving me what I asked for? Number two, God does things his way. Ever notice that? God does things his way. Number three, only God gets to be God. Only God gets to be God, right? And only his way matters, okay? Jesus spoke, he said, true disciples means you got to die to yourself, right? So we should give up those things, but it's hard, right? And it's hard. Our job is to do whatever he asks us to do on the road that we're on. So often he wants us to pray, Lord, take me off this road. Put me on a road in the South Pacific where the palm trees sway and the bananas grow bigger than Dano. And they don't grow that big, but they're big, you know. You see an avocado size of my head there. Like, put me there. Everyone's chill. Like, you know, it's only 25 miles an hour. And if you could go faster, we're talking about the speed limit and how relative it is in our lives sometimes. You know, for our safety, we shouldn't go 95 down through Globe, but don't raise your hand if you've done it. Right? Some things. I'm just saying, whatever road he's planned for you could be hard, but it's the only road for us to take. Don't jump off the road he put you on. Right? These truths, when they think about them, should cause us to pray for each other's roads, not judge each other's roads. Pray for each other's travel, because you don't have to travel my roads. And you can judge my road all you want, but if you never travel my road, I go zzz to it. And I try not to judge your road. And if I've been on a similar road, y'all give me some advice. Like, I was on that road. I hit those potholes hard when I was young. Yep, stupid. But I can help you patch it up so you don't got to fall into that. Unless you, like me, you had to fall into yourself. I got knots too, you know. These truths should cause us to pray for one another and keep our hearts good. You know, Christian means, if you really call us a Christian, we have to realign our thinking to match his. So we read hard things in the Bible. If your first thought is, I'm going to change God, you missed it. Right? Say, let's be honest. Let's be authentic. All right. Hard Road, Episode 2, Romans 2, 1 through 4. We're cooking now. You may think you can condemn such people that do these things that they should not. You may think you can condemn these people. He's writing to the church. Stop looking to judge others. Say, stop it. Stop looking to judge others, but please, if you love God, be a better judge of yourself. Be a better judge of yourself. Right? It's important. He says, you can think you can condemn such people when you see them out there doing their thing, but you're just as bad. He's talking to the church. But you're just as bad, and you have no excuse. Ow! That's sharp. That's not why I wanted to preach after men's ministry. I wanted to come in with I wanted you to run out the door going, you know, eating raw meat and going, we're going to take the world for Jesus, you know. Well, this is more like getting a pedicure on a sore nail, you know. You're just as bad. You have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself. For you who judge others, do the very same thing. And we know that God in justice will punish anyone who does such things. Here's a fun Bible study. You ready? Go look up all the things God says not to do and the consequences. Go do it. Spend a whole year going, I'm going to look through everything God says not to do, what the consequences are. It's fun. It says, since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same thing? Because I said in Jesus' name. Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Man, right? We talk a lot about that at men's ministry. Guys are like, we admit we're knuckleheads. How patient he's been with some of us, right? He has. Good fathers have unpopular rules, right? Why? To ensure that kids are safe and blessed. So good fathers also show grace to the repentant, right? Good father doesn't just keep punishing for the same thing over again that you repent. That's abuse. He's not an abusive father. He's a good father. He's a good father that says, no, you're going to get it for that. You know, I had a prayer picture this morning. I'm going to get in trouble already, Wilson Croft, but I'm looking at you, so it makes it easier. You ever watch those guy movies where some young guy is running his mouth? He's the punk of the movie, you know, and he's running his mouth. And there's an old dude who doesn't recognize that this old dude knows something. And this guy running his mouth. And all of a sudden, you see the old dude smack him so hard in the jaw. He's like, ah! Hard enough to let him go, hey, that hurt, that old man knows something. And if their jaw starts to swell, it makes him think, I'll be careful how I talk to that guy again. That's how I was praying for you all this morning. Some of us, he's been lying to us through the cycle of things, or things that are going on in our lives, and all of a sudden that thing's whispering in your ear. I just prayed this morning, smack it in the mouth. So I go, oh, I'm not going to talk trash like that Danny no more. I'm not doing it. Why? Because God smacked me in the mouth. If we had that kind of fear of saying those things about other people and judge ourselves, our mouths would be less sore. It would. Says, don't you realize God's been tolerant with you and patient with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see? I want to sing it so bad. Can't you see? Can't you see what this God's been doing for me? Right? That's not the exact words, but it's good enough, right? Can't you see that his kindness, all this patience he's had with you from the moment you ran into him, is intended to turn you from your sin? That's intended to turn you. That's kindness. Like not being T-bone, not kindness. Thank you, God. So why his rules and why his way? Because he intends to turn us from bad consequences of continued sin. And we can't say we don't know because we got the book. You can't, well, I didn't know that. God's going to deal with that in a minute too, even though. Ever ask a kid? I was talking to someone the other day, I went through them on the bus, but I was like, hey, could you get, stop playing for a second, get that dog poop for me over there? I just, well, actually, I don't need you to do that. Just go get me a bag in the kitchen, and third door down, grab me a bag and bring it out. What do you mean? I said, I want a bag from the third drawer next to the stove. What are you talking about? I can realize they're playing, but they're going to go, you're speaking Chinese. Bob, you're talking to me? What is it going on? You know, because it's like, I'm getting out of this when I do that. You know, there are things in our life that we kind of do that with that we know God said. I don't read that. I would never say that to me. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Talking about sin in every culture, in every church is hard. It's not the thing I like to do most. It's like, you know, some guys do. I question if they know the Lord. It's hard to be in church culture because everyone thinks they're so enlightened. Sometimes God asks us to do a hard thing. Anybody been asked to do a hard thing by God? Yeah. Anyone ever been asked to do something so hard, but eventually it became plain to you that it was for your own good? Man. All right, I got a slide to remind us what's ahead. I think I got a slide. Please, Lord. The following program is mature in content. You're going to hear things that's mature in content. It's meant to mature you, and also if you got little kids, Paul deals with some sin you don't might want to explain when you get home, so you can maybe put your hands over Juliana's ears or something. You know, just picking on Juju. I love you. Romans 2:5. But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, say, God's people can be stubborn. Say, I am the church. Yeah, we are. Amen. We are stubborn. We are stubborn. Sometimes I could be super stubborn, you know? Jody's like, I know, Pastor, keep moving. I got you. Why? Because you don't return from your sin. You don't turn from it. You won't turn. Actually, you're storing up terrible punishment for yourself. Ah, for a day of anger is coming. A day of anger is coming. Lord, let each of us be ready for that day. When God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Like at some point in time, it's happening. I had friends in Dubai that thought it was happening like last month. Because from their perspective, bombs are raining. It seems like they're in the book of Revelation. They're coming from, right? And they're Christians in Dubai and they could be put in jail for their faith. And they feel like, is Jesus coming back in the sky? If you were in Dubai, you'd go, I wonder, right? She was wondering. She asked me, and I said, I'm praying for you. I don't know. But I know this, he is coming. He is, right? Romans 2, 6 through 11. He will pay back to each person according to his deeds, justly as his deeds deserve. And he goes through, like, you see those little scripture references? Like, this is woven through the whole Bible. Which all given for instruction, not just a New Testament thing, not just an Old Testament thing, it's a Bible thing. Right? To those who by persistence in doing good seek unseen but certain heavenly glory, honor, and immortality. If you seek God and do good things, what's that? I'll paraphrase that. You got you covered. Doesn't mean be perfect. Didn't say that. It said seek God. When you run into him, he says, go, okay, and do what he asked you to do. Seek God. Get there, seek him, and with all your heart, and do the things he asked you to do. Just key to immortality. He will give the gift of eternal life for those. But for those who are selfishly ambitious. Anyone ever been selfishly ambitious? Yeah, they could have wrote a rap song about me. Selfishly ambitious and self-seeking. Oh, when Dr. Heidi says, what kind of cake you want to get for everybody at the house? I'm going to have to not answer my favorite. Why? Because maybe it doesn't what everyone wants. A carrot cake would be good. Nana, I got you on board. Anybody take her? Say, drink carrot cake. Okay, anyways, we distracted. Self-seeking and disobedient to the truth. Disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness. It's so hard for me. I'm so like, I know the Lord said this, and I can't do it. I'm just stubborn in my ways. But the wickedness comes like, ooh, wickedness. How easy, right, is that in our life, right? Not. We're the church. There will be wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and anguish, torturing confinement for every human soul who does or permits evil. To the Jew first and to the Greek. But glory and honor and inner peace will be given to everyone who habitually does good, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. With him, one person is not important than another. So that's my paraphrase. Everyone gets equal opportunity to give him their hearts and lives and to do what he expects us to do and then to go do something with it. We all have the same opportunity. Your road may do look different. I don't know all the things you stumble over. I don't know the things that are hard for you. I don't know where you wrestle. I don't know your victories. I don't know where he's called you to ultimately be your due, but I do know he has called you ultimately to be or do something. If you gave him your life, he wants to use it in a way that will blow the world's mind and touch your neighbor's lives and bring people not to the church, but to the church, right? Because of your life. Like, he chose you a knucklehead for a reason. Stop beating yourself up because you're a knucklehead, but stop ignoring your knuckleheadedness. Is that a good paraphrase? For time's sake, I'll stay with the New Living. Romans 2, 12 through 16. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed. Destroyed even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. What are you talking about, Yoda? For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. I've been in church my whole life, and I've heard the word of God, and I know the word of God. I can tell you the address, and I can do that. Awesome. That means babka. That's Yiddish for nothing. Babka, zip, zilch, nunca, nil, nine, nothing. Means nothing. So what? You know the Bible inside out. So does the devil. It is in obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even the Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it. Even without having heard it, okay, they demonstrate God's law was written in their hearts. Like, you know, ever meet a moral person? They don't know Jesus, but you can trust them. Like, they got something. You know, I can trust this guy. Right? They demonstrate it. For their own consciousness of thoughts either accuse them or tell them they're doing right. And this is the message that I proclaim. Paul's like, here, church, I'm proclaiming this part. I want you to hear this. The day is coming. The day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everybody's secret life. Judge everybody's secret life. Can you see now why the truth-telling and the truth-knowing, the truth-serving, making him truly first is really, really matters? Like Francis Chan last week, there's churches full of people going to hell too. It's about knowing him and yielding your life to him. And if you yield your life to him, then he gets to make the rules. We don't get to say how we feel about it. It says, yes, sir. Why? Because I love you. If you never do another thing for me, right, Jody? We'll cry. You catch us crying over a cup of coffee where we're talking about our kids, our grandkids. We're talking about what God has done for us. You'll see, right, Jody? If you see us cheering up, that's what it is. We recognize, right? Really matters is knowing him. So in this scripture, when we're talking about God, people, he'll either call them sometimes Jewish believers or Gentile believers. You'll see that woven out, okay? You know what the point is there? Don't get tripped up in the semantics. Who's first, who's last, who's second? Don't get tripped up in that. When he says Gentile believers, receive it because you're a believer. When he says Jewish believer, receive it because you're a believer, okay? I want you to believe. Together we're his people, right? And together he has instruction for us all, the same instruction. He's not telling me something he's not telling E. We're telling us the same stuff, right? This rules and expectations, same for me and Emily, same thing, right? I might have more expectation. Why? Because I got a different hat. I have to walk a different line, but that's my hard road. Right? Romans 2, 17. You who call yourself Jews, those who say they're part of God's people, are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him, and you know what he wants, and you know what is right, because you've been taught his law. And you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind. I am a gift to my neighborhood. Boy, the people at work, they're so lucky to have me. I am a gift. Right? You're convinced I can be a guide to the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. What qualifies you for that? You think you can instruct the ignorant. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God. He's talking to the church. Like, that's hard, right? That's a hard thing to hear. Ever get called out on your nonsense? Good thing I have. So many thank you, Pastor Sharon, right? You're like, all right, Lord. For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. I have a slide to help us process that. Ruh-roh. Ruh-roh, don't get caught in that. Ruh-roh, Shaggy, don't. You know, no. Say the hard road. Romans 2, 21 through 24. Well then. If your spouse ever just texts you, well then, you're nervous. Honestly, if you think about it, if you're a married guy, they're all looking at me like, I don't want to get well then. There's good words. Those well and then seem okay, but together like that with no emoji, I don't want to go home right now. Well then. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? Por qué? Teach yourself. Before we instruct anybody in anything, teach yourself. And not treat yourself. Teach yourself. I'm good at treating myself. I like to treat myself very well sometimes, you know. But teaching myself sometimes, I always say, hey, I learned this lesson again. And that's kind of a double entendre, because if I learned it, I might have to learn it again. Learn this lesson again. I found myself saying that in our counseling session this week, you know. I said, you know, I had to learn this lesson three times. I went, wait a minute. I haven't learned it at all. I keep doing it over and over again. You tell others not to steal, but you steal. You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but you do commit adultery. You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? And that's where I go, ha-ha. When you read that, you go, I'm off the hook on that, right? Pagan temples are even around. Off the hook. How about this one? This may or may not. You know, my grandmother's around. She would be mad at this one. Do you consult your horoscope or your auras or your chakras or your... Do you idolize people and their influence, your choices over what God would have you influence? Say, idol. Idol. Now, come on. If I can get up that high, Sean, say, idol. You know, you can do it. Idol. Sometimes that's called American Idol for a reason. Why? We want you to idolize this person. We want you to buy their stuff. We want you to dress like them and act like them. Let them set moral compass for your life. Now, how do you live your life? Idol. So you got to go, oh, dude, okay, cool. And work on that. Right? Are you so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it? No wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles, this is where you can insert non-believer for a second, they blaspheme the name of God because of you. What? Yeah, there's so many people that don't love me because the church is ugly to them. And when they try to take a bite out of someone who said they love Jesus, they get nasty. And that's why a lot of people hate me. I'm just paraphrasing. But that was me. I've been in some nasty folks, right? And I've been working my self into being the best Jesus I can be. But that's how important it is. We don't want to blaspheme God because I'm a knucklehead. Anybody? No way, God. I don't want that. Paul's saying this. You like portray the anti-God to people. So this is what I want us to say, because this is where you can overcome this. Are you ready? Just say it with me. Holy Spirit, please help us. Like, without him, we can't fix nothing, do nothing. Come on, right? Holy, that's why he sent him. You're going to need a helper. Why? Because you're going to need it. I'm fine. I know the Bible. Peter, I cut a dude's ear off. I walked his my whole life. I know them. I've been taught the scriptures since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. You're going to need the Holy Spirit, bro. Why? Because you're going to make some messes. You're going to need to know what to do. You know? You think you're going to give your own life? When there's a point when you want to save it? You're selfish, right, Peter? Yeah. You're going to need the Holy Spirit sometimes to die to yourself. You know? The hard road has the same hard stuff to hear, but we should be checking our hearts with it. We should be listening and obeying Dad. Abba, Adonai, Father God, all the names, right? Our Heavenly Father is always right, even when we don't understand it. So often we fight with this, God, why? So just trust me, I'm God, you don't understand, but I want to understand it. I'm asking for understanding. You said in your word, ask for understanding, but I'm asking you now not to why, because you're not mature enough to even handle it. You know, people say, I felt touched with the Holy Ghost. So many times, if people felt to the degree that they said they felt the Holy Ghost, they'd be on their face because of a microcosm of a minute with the Holy Spirit, but people on their face. We use that too much. He's that same God, you know. I got a slide. Mature content ahead. Heavenly Father's always right. Romans 2, 25 through 27. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision. If you don't know what it is, ask somebody else. You know, I'm sure, you know. Mark would like to answer that question after service. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision, it has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you're no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. And if the Gentiles obey God's law, won't God declare them to be his own people? In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law, but don't obey it. Your fruit one day will reveal who it is you're really following. Fruit must be seen here, and fruit will be seen on the other side. Someone says, I'm fruitful, and you look at their life, you don't see any fruit, then maybe there's no fruit. Right. Romans 2, 28 through 29. For you are not a true Jew. Uh-oh, listen. You are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents. That's real eye-opening for them. It's a slap in the face back then. Because that was like the get-out-of-jail-free card. Moses, right? Ooh, Brother Moses, guys, we're the people. They just claim, Moses, I'm, you know, check out the lineage. I'm in. He said that, Babka. What? You're not a true Jew just because you were born to Jewish parents. Or because you've gone through some ceremony of circumcision. Pastor Justin, okay, he left. I was going to let him explain it to you. No, a true Jew is one whose heart, say heart check, whose heart is right with God. You're really God's people when your heart is right with God. Not perfect with God, right with God. And so often we're so worried about we're not going to make perfect that we don't make it right. It would be that way if I can't do everything. Like, I stop. All right, pray for me, all you skinny, healthy, young people. I have plans to get into the garage again and start losing weight and eating better. I have plans. I'm really feeling inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to try hard. But I can have all the plans I want. But I'm the kind of guy like, well, I can't start. Why? Because it's not Monday. You know, if I start in the middle of the week and throw me off, and then it's the Saturday, there's a birthday party, there's chocolate cake, and I'm, you know, so maybe I don't. I can start, like, the third Monday of December. Why? Because then everything's not all right and perfect, you know. The garage smells too much. I must, and whatever the excuse is, right? Where's your heart? I hope we take a moment and really check our own hearts. Don't think about anybody else's heart. Don't think about anybody else's life or what he should be saying to them or what they should be hearing today. Just stop it. Stop that. He started off with don't judge each other. That's how he started this. And then he said, hey, judge yourself. Right. Whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. It's a changed heart. A changed heart. Produced by the Spirit. Without him, how are we going to do it? And the person with a changed heart seeks praise from God. Seeks attaboys from God, seeks affirmation from God, goes to God when everyone says, you're doing that wrong, Pastor. Well, I can't just be stubborn. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. But if I live by the praise of people in the church, I would never preach out of Romans. I didn't want to, actually. I was like, in deep roots, that's where I was going. We're going to do some Moses and Joshua. And, yes. No, not Romans, God. The church, did you see? Sunday we're packed out. Addison's like, I got to get beanbags. We're coming in. Woo, right. I go, no, I'm preaching Romans. We'll cut that place in half in a second. Lord, what are you doing? My people got to learn how to walk a hard road. And don't make them weak. Strengthen them. Be iron sharpening iron. Okay. A person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Not from people. A changed heart produced by the Spirit, and a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Lord, help me. So here's some points to ponder. And I left some space because I thought we might be small today. And just because I make a moment for you to respond doesn't mean you have to. But so often, it's hard to walk as pastor of the Spirit and in truth, right? How much word, much worship, and are the children teachers ready to kill me yet? And Jazz was like, yes, pastor, you're at that point. You're getting there. You got 15 minutes. They're going to shank you, all of them. And you're trying to walk in the Spirit of God and go, I want to give an opportunity, because what if that's the moment you raise your hand and you give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you never really gave that sin over to him and you're going to burn it up today. No one needs to know what it is, but you, it is, you laid it down. And who cares what they think? When they come up there, they're going to be judged by sin. If they are, boom, God says, shut up. But if I don't make a moment, then will you ever have a chance to respond? Because you go home and you smell the pot roast and you watch the Sixers play and life's good. Before life gets good, it can only get good if we give him the things we need to give him so we can be grateful again. So here's some points to ponder, and I'm going to play a little song, and I'll be up here to pray for you if you want me to. I'll pray for you. I'm not going right to the door. Someone else, Pastor Justin, me, I don't know. But I'm going to stay up front for a little bit. Here's some questions. You ready? How's your obedience? How's your turning from whatever sin you're going through? How's your heart? I mean, really, how's your heart? Are you seeking God above your own desires? Are you self-seeking again? To what or whom do you seek acceptance and encouragement from when we should run to the Father? What does God think of my current heart condition? Not my current sin. We know what he thinks of that. That's easy. We already read about that. But what does he think about my current heart condition? Because that matters more than the sin. It's the condition of our hearts. So I want to take a moment today and really have a sit down with the Father with you. And I have a song. It's not to be dramatic, but Dead Space. I like to fill it with a little praise and gratitude when I'm giving him something that's hard to give him, because walking as the church can be a hard road, right? But we're just the people to do it, because he called us to it, right? So if you want to respond, go ahead and put the music on and take a moment with God. When the song's over, I'll probably go to the door. If you need to slip out because you got something on the stove, or pray blessings over the church, and you would go out in the community and multiply, everything Jesus asked you to touch would turn to his presence in your life, and you would see such growth in you and outside of you and around you, and you change neighborhoods. No matter how hard your path is, you would shine brightly for him in Jesus' name.